The next item reads, whereas item 8D from the July 30th, 2025 Social Services Committee was held by Council for separate discussion at this meeting. The item being report 2025-163, 310 Division Street Operating Model. And whereas Council directed staff at the June 18th, 2025 County Council meeting to provide a report at the July 30th, 2025 Social Services Committee meeting regarding the timeline, budget implementation plan, and operational expectations of transitioning 310 Division Street Coburg to a higher barrier shelter that focuses on serving lower to moderate acuity individuals. Now, therefore, be it resolved that County Council adopt the following, that County Council direct staff to proceed with implementing the emergency sheltering operating model as outlined in this report, and as directed by Council at the June 18th, 2025 Council meeting by Council Resolution 2025-06-18-522. Councillor Cleveland, you asked for this item to be held. I ask if you have any comment, please.
A couple questions, if I may have some leniency to your word. And I had a few chats with the Rebecca Carmen's replacement for today, as Ms. Director Carmen is on vacation. So at the standing committee meeting, we heard a lot of questions around definitions around low, medium, high. We heard that there was going to be some clarifications on the differences between the old operating model and the new operating model. And I'm just wondering if we can maybe have knowledge about when that's going to be coming forward in terms of very specific information. I think what we have here is a community looking for details and to understand sort of what is changing, what isn't changing. And then the other question I have would be in regards to a timeline. I'm not the professional expert here. I know that we have them employed with this organization. And as such, I'm wondering when they expect to be reviewing the changes in terms of successes and failures so that future changes can be made if necessary, when necessary. I'm just sort of trying to understand timelines, how the department's approaching this. Is it going to be a year? Because I think that's too long. I'm looking for maybe a 6-month turnaround. I'm just sort of wondering if we get some specifics around that today.
Director Dees or Manager Smith?
Thank you, and through your warden. So as far as timelines goes, if this model is approved by council, then we will give notice to the operator that of our intentions and the required 30-day notice to open up the service agreement. At that point, we'll start to negotiate some of the changes that are going to happen with the operator as far as budgets, processes, codes of conduct, all of those things. So as well as we'll have to change some of the operations with security. So all of that, those initial conversations will happen very quickly. As far as timelines, the hope is that there are some pieces of this model that we can implement very quickly. There are other pieces that we're going to wait on. The operator is currently in negotiations to ratify their first collective agreement. Also, so there will be some recruitment requirements by the operator that will take time. So it's our intention to do a 3-month update and bring it back to council on where we are with all of these pieces, and then a 6-month and a 1 year, recognizing that along the way, there may be things that we have to change or pivot, and any of those updates would be brought to council as well. As far as the definitions for the community, I have provided the clerk with a definition page. It was too late to make it onto the agenda, but that will be circulated to council and it will be added to the minutes for the community.
Excuse me, Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Could we take a 10-minute recess or a 5-minute recess so we could read this document?
Or Manager Smith, would you be willing to walk us through the document? Would that be okay, Councillor Martin, instead of a break?
However works, so that we're not just sitting in silence.
Mr. Smith?
So some of the key features is time limited. So residents typically stay for a period from 3 months to 4 years. That's more around transitional housing units. There was a time when housing stock was more available that an emergency shelter stay would be maxed out at 90 days. Things have changed drastically in the last decade. So basically, if you are still engaging in your housing-focused search, then We are not going to create homelessness from our emergency shelter. Support services and wraparound supports. So under the new model, we are creating a new case plan for the case manager at the shelter. And part of that case plan is going to touch on basically every aspect of an individual's life, including how they lost their housing, what the goals are, education, employment, mental health, physical health, substance use, those types of things. And they will develop a case plan that will be looked at on a regular basis and updated on a regular basis. So when I come back to council in 3 months, I should have big wins and small wins. So somebody has now decided to get their grade 12. That would be one of those successes that would be identified in their case plan. We also do regular unit inspections of our transitional housing units within 310. So we do those every 30 days for a couple of reasons. One, obviously, for health and safety and fire. The other is it gives my team an opportunity to address any concerns that they may notice when they're doing the inspections. Mental health and addiction services stay the same. So we will still do referrals to both of those services as required. Life skills training, part of the first floor hub now is going to be used for more group activity and training opportunities for those who are current clients of 310 Division. Employment and education supports, so we reach out to employment agencies and they help us with the employment and education assistance in finding permanent housing. That is the help center. It's my team. Everything we do moving forward in that shelter is going to be housing focused. Target population is low acuity and close to housing ready clients. The goal is to provide safe, stable housing and develop the skills and resources needed to maintain that permanent housing. That's a really important piece. And then some definitions on a barrier. So barrier is something such as a rule, law, or policy that makes it difficult or impossible for something to happen or to be achieved. So I think barriers in a lot of our conversations got misconstrued. And so really the intention has always been to lower barriers for people to access service. And so a lot of those barriers, as a county, we need to be very proud that we were able to lower, such as mobility, accessible showers, the ability to do laundry, all of those things. Those would have been considered barriers at not just 10 Chapel, but a lot of shelters in this province. So we tried very hard to lower as many of those barriers as possible. Some of the changes around barriers is there will be no more amnesty lockers. So you will no longer be able to come in with weapons, drugs, drug paraphernalia, and store it while you're staying at the shelter. So we've eliminated that piece. So that would raise the barriers for this shelter specifically. Some of the other things that we talk about as far as physical characteristics, so accommodating couples, pets, those types of things. So because we're able to do that, that lowers the barrier for our shelter. Do you want me to go through all of it or take questions as we go?
I think if you give us the high level on each category, and then if there's any questions as we go through, we can, and if council needs more time after that, I can declare a recess then.
Thanks. So then we move on to acuity. So really acuity is defined as the level of support that is required for an individual. And we do an assessment, we're going to do an assessment within the first 24 to 48 hours, and that gives us this magic number of a low, medium, or high acuity person. But the reality is on any of the assessments, there's aspects of the assessment that don't really apply necessarily to determine somebody's acuity. So if somebody has some physical issues, that would score them higher on the acuity because they would identify as a different need, but that wouldn't necessarily factor into them being allowed to access our shelter. So acuity in general is fluid, and at any time, life circumstances can change your acuity, your need for support. Something tragic could happen, and suddenly you need a different type of support that would raise your acuity level. And we would be working within those needs and supports throughout their entire stay, not just at the beginning, not just when they do an intake, but identifying and addressing those needs as they move forward. We do have a few examples. So low acuity. So the examples that we've used, Mark was evicted when his landlord needed to perform extensive building renovations, works full time in a low paying job, cannot find a suitable apartment within his budget, and has never experienced homelessness before. So that would be considered somebody who is housing ready, low acuity, and really the interventions there are to find a unit and potentially a subsidy so he can not spend a large amount of time in our homeless shelter. Moderate acuity example, Anita is a senior, has been living in her vehicle for 3 weeks. She received a fixed income, has arthritis and mobility issues, and no family nearby. So again, she may have higher needs around her physical, but that would not interfere with her shelter stay as far as supports needed, as far as substance use, mental health, or just escalated behaviors. High acuity levels, Jordan has cycled between living unsheltered, couch surfing with friends for several years. Jordan sustained a brain injury in a motor vehicle as a teenager and has moderate substance use concerns. There's been previous involvement with the justice system, and they've recently experienced interpersonal violence. So that is an example of true wraparound, where there's multiple things happening all at the same time, and we would try to address them concurrently. So typically with wraparound services, you're not just only fixated on the housing aspect of things, because we want them to be successful once they get their housing. So we would make referrals to all of those agencies to support that client. So that would be a high acuity client. Any questions?
Questions for Manager Smith? Councillor Martin, was that enough to absorb? Okay, thank you. Councillor Cleveland.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith. Appreciate having this. I guess what I'm looking for is the terminology I can use moving forward to ensure that I'm speaking with some knowledge and some understanding. So we're not talking about raising the barrier. We're talking actually about determining who 310 can best serve, is what I'm sort of understanding from this. And the language that I'm to use is acuity, so that 310 is more designed now for individuals with lower acuity, though they don't need as many wraparound or potential services. And I guess my question is that's wonderful. And what I'm hearing, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that within 6 months, this council will have a report in front of it, sort of demonstrating some of the successes in the community, as well as some of the individual wins, as well as what areas that we can still continue to improve. Is that a fair assessment of what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, well, Warden, I guess my last question, if I may be granted one more. Now that we understand that 310 is becoming a sort of a mecca center for home finding homes, as you've said, and what are we to do with the individuals with the high acuity? So we know that some individuals will, and this is maybe a question for you, it's for this council and as a province. Now that we know that 310 is going to be a model where people who don't need as much help are able to find their way out of homelessness and into stable housing, the people with high acuity, those suffering on our streets with severe mental health issues, what are we to do with them to ensure that we don't avoid having them sort of continue to walk the streets in disrepair and suffering in this heat? I'm just sort of trying to understand next steps for those individuals who we see in the community who no longer are sort of able to go to 310 because we're trying to focus those services on those individuals, yet we have these 8 to 10 individuals in our community that are suffering. I'm just trying to understand where we're going with them next. And I don't know if you have an answer, and that's okay to say that there isn't one right now, because that is the system we're dealing with.
I don't have a solution, but I do know that my outreach team are visiting and supporting one that supports are wanted to all of those individuals. I think the tougher question is when supports are not wanted, and then what the answers are behind that. And that's that moves to higher levels, and that's the involuntary piece of support that I think the province needs to clarify a little more.
No further questions.
And that problem, Mr. Smith, exists whether we have a room for them or not.
Correct.
Thank you. Councilor, Deputy Warden.
Thank you for this. I just had a quick question around where somebody that, for example, has gone through treatment for mental health and addictions for a period of time has stabilized. And we know that one of the things that's a key indicator of success is having some housing support in order to continue with the kind of outpatient and wraparound services that are required. But they may not neatly fit into how you're categorizing according to this metric, either low or medium acuity. Would 310 Division consider bringing those folks in after they've successfully completed a program in community to try to provide them that next step in transitional housing?
Thank you, 3 Warden. Yes, we're looking at that model currently, so they would follow the same assessments and the same selection process into either a shelter bed or our transitional housing units within 310. And typically, they have follow-up through their treatment facility as well, and it makes sense that they have a place to go once they've successfully completed treatment. So we are looking at a couple of different options right now. It might mean we have a place for them, but it's a month away, so we would pay for them to be in a motel after successful treatment so that they're not reintroduced or re-triggered if that happened to be their trigger.
Thank you for that clarification. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you both. Councilor Local.
Thank you, Warden. And thank you, Bill, for this information. I think it's very useful. You mentioned earlier in the in your presentation about the dealing with the operator of the facility. And I appreciate knowing where you were heading for there. From a financial point of view, will we still get support from the province because we changed from one barrier level to a different one? I'm not sure if that question goes through. Who that goes through, but
yeah, thank you. Through you, Warren. Yes, so that's funded through our HPP funding, and we would still support an emergency shelter and our transitional units through that.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Anyone else? I've read the motion. We've received the appendix and some description around it. Could I have a mover, please? Councilor Martin, seconded by the Deputy Warden. Further discussion? All those in favor? Any opposed? Motion is carried.